The following essay was originally aired in 2005. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, June 23rd, 5 p.m. Spencer Spit State Park, Lopez Island, Puget Sound. The combined aroma of salty aerosol and decaying seaweed, borne upon air that has been sweetened and purified by a journey across thousands of miles over the eastern Pacific, conjures up a sense of place, as well as any impression evoked by sights or sounds. The gauzy veil of cloudiness scatters the afternoon sunlight, intensifying its brilliance. The protected waters of the Puget Sound lap gently against the sandy shore, appearing more like a freshwater lake than a turbulent ocean. 10,000 to 12,000 years ago, when the last glaciers melted, the sea rose some 400 feet and flooded inland river valleys along the Pacific Northwest coast, creating drowned river estuaries, as well as marine sounds and embayments in nearshore islands such as the San Juan Archipelago. Spencer Spit is an excellent example of a sand spit enclosing a salt chuck lagoon. These lagoons, commonly found in the San Juans, are formed over a long period of time by the action of wind and tide on sandy beaches. The lagoon displays a rainbow of colors from the various algae and invertebrates that thrive in its warm, shallow waters. The sandy spit points eastward like an arrow to nearby Frost Island, less than 100 feet from its tip. There is an unseen phenomenon occurring today that greatly affects life in these inland coastal waters. The coincidence of the solstice with the sun at its highest point overhead and the opposing gravitational pull of the full moon have created extreme tidal shifts. These swings are known as spring tides because they jump so dramatically from one extreme to the other and back. A huge volume of water is flooding into and emptying out of the Puget Sound every 6 hours. Today's tides are both the highest and the lowest of the year. A majestic pair of bald eagles sit quietly together just above me, perched at the top of a Douglas fir near the base of the spit. They stare northward as if watching for something in the distance. A kingfisher flaps its wings vigorously, hovering in place above the water, looking around for an unwary fish. At a decisive moment, he folds his wings and dives, striking the ocean surface with a substantial force. He struggles back into the air without his intended prey and flies off hastily to the east to try his luck in another area. One of the eagles swoops out of its perch and flies low over the lagoon, landing purposefully at the north side of the spit. As I walk along the path to investigate, I notice a small fish well away from the water, laying in the dirt. Its compressed, oval, silvery body is dressed with dark stripes, interrupted by three yellow vertical bars. This is a shiner perch, commonly found in shallow bays and kelp beds. A bird that picked it from the water must have been distracted and dropped it here. I approach within 30 yards of the eagle. It is wading in the shallow, gravelly outlet to the lagoon, aggressively fighting off a group of crows. After clearing out an area of personal space, the big white-headed bird casually dips its broadly curved yellow beak into the flowing water and pulls out a shiner perch identical to the one I found on the path. It swallows the wriggling fish and dips down to grab another. Its mate flies in low over the marsh, close enough so I can hear each muffled wing beat, and lands in the middle of the crowd of clumsily fishing crows. The black birds scatter as the well-armed raptor snaps half-heartedly in their direction. One of the crows drops a perch in the sand during the commotion. The invading eagle spreads its olive-black wings and swoops over to the abandoned fish. In a perfectly timed move, it opens its talons, picks the fish from the sand, and circles back to its perch at the top of the Douglas fir. On July 4th, the city of Cresswell will dedicate the Ron Petiti Pavilion in Garden Lake Park. Come for an evening of free food, music, and a youth nature fair. Former Governor Barbara Roberts will speak. There will be live musical entertainment, along with games and activities to increase natural awareness and demonstrate friction fire and other traditional living skills. There will also be a kids' nature craft table allowing kids to make art with things found in nature. Many other organizations will be exhibiting on different areas such as history, renewable energy, and local ecology. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.